Praise God, it's good to be in his house today.
We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. Worship Christ the Lord. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. Worship Christ the Lord. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. We have come into this house to magnify the Lord and worship him. Worship Christ the Lord.
Lord Jesus, my God, I love and I praise you, Jesus. I thank you for this opportunity we have to gather together to lift your name in worship and praise. You are everything, my God, and I thank you for being here with us, my Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, my God.
His word is like fire shut up in my bones, a power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. His word is like a fire shut up in my bones, a power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. His word is like a fire shut up in my bones, a power that comes down from on high. It makes me shout, it makes me sing unto the everlasting King. Word is like a fire in my soul. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive, keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Well, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. Yes, it's all over me, and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. Yes, it's all over me, and it's keeping alive. Jesus is keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire and it's keeping me alive. Keeping me alive, keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire and it's keeping me alive. Jesus is keeping me alive.
Lord Jesus, I love you, my God. I praise you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for the power that we have in you, for that spirit that you've given each of us, Lord, that we have that strength and that power, that confidence we can have in you, my Lord. I love and praise you, Jesus. Thank you, my God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Claudette? Sing song number 131. I'll bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. With my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord, with the heart of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord, with my hands lifted up, my mouth filled with praise. With the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. I will bless thee, O Lord. With the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. Thank you, my Lord Jesus, my God. I love and I praise you, Lord. So thankful to be in your house today, my God, to be surrounded by my brothers and sisters and be able to worship you, Lord. I praise you, my God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, my God. Praise God. We have Kirsten Inger and Mary Jo come up now, please.
Just want to thank God for being back in his house and thank him for a safe, wonderful trip, just keeping his hand on us and that we just had a wonderful time, and I thank him so much for that. And I really thank him for coming back and hearing about people getting baptized and getting the Holy Ghost. That just was like, what a wonderful, awesome thing to come home and hear those things. And I thank God so much for that. And just thank him for the way that he's always working and moving things forward and working in our lives. And it's just so awesome to know that that's always happening no matter what's going on in the world. And just want to ask you to just worship with us and praise him while we sing tonight.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And these are the days of great trial. Riding It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones restored unto life. And these are the days of your servant David, promised a throne for all time. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in the world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. And out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah.
Praise you, Jesus. Glory, God, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you. Glory, God, hallelujah.
I thank you, Jesus. Glory, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God. I praise you, Lord. Praise you, my God. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad, and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away.
me high. Be glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I never shall forget the day when all the burdens of my soul were rolled away. It makes me happy, glad and free. I'll sing and shout it, for he's everything to me. I found a new life, I found a new life. Anybody asks you what's the matter with me, my friend, tell them that I've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and water baptized. In Jesus' name I found a new life, I found a new life, I found a new life. Anybody asks you what's the matter with me, my friend, tell them that I've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and water baptized. In Jesus' name I found a new life, I found a new life, I found a new life. Anybody asks you what's the matter with me, my friend, tell them that I've been saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and water baptized. In Jesus' name I found a new life.
Thank you, my Lord Jesus, my God. I love you. I praise you, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, my God. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise you, my God. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, Jesus. Glory, Lord. Praise God. You may be seated. Kirsten? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God for how his light can shine through us. Provide that brightness. My brothers and sisters need it. I also want to just thank God for being able to be back in his house. It's nice to get away and be in sunshine, but it's really nice to be here, to feel his spirit, be surrounded by people that are in the same mind, and have everybody be focused and worshiping on God is amazing. I've got a song tonight I wanted to do. It's the song Holy Water, and please worship with me if you know the words.
God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm begging, please again, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul, I need you. I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. Walk enslaved to sin, wanna know about being born again, I need you. So take me to that riverside, take me under, baptize, I need you. I need you. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water, your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin. I don't wanna abuse. use your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water. Your forgiveness, like sweet, sweet honey on my lips, like the sound of a symphony to my ears, like holy water on my skin, like holy water on my skin, like holy water.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my God, I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, glory, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise God. James, were you standing? No. We're going to sing our last song tonight. If you're in Sunday school, you can be dismissed now. Song number 288, The Love of God.
The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels. How measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels.
Jesus, my God, I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory, my Lord. Praise you, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Will you all please stand for the word of God?
Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glad to see everybody here tonight. I hope you had a good week. It's hectic out there, but in God, no matter what's going on, you can have a good week. Amen. Now, praise the Lord, it's getting that time of year where we're getting more sunlight and the days are getting longer and warmer. I can't wait for summertime. Amen. I want to welcome all our local people, our visitors, and our online live stream folks. We're glad to have you with us today here in Soldotna, Alaska, at the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ. This is our afternoon service, and we're glad you can join us. So we need to, once again, the world is pretty hectic out there, folks. We need to keep praying for each other, for the church, for new souls, for our officials. There's some decisions that are going to be made, whether we think we have any control over or not. God says he's in control of everything, so he tells us to pray for our leaders. So the only way I can pray about that is for God's perfect will, because I know a lot of this stuff is going on so God can get mankind's attention for to save their souls, because these are the end days. These are definitely the end days. And things might get mellowed out just a little bit, but they're going to get worse. If nothing else, this is a snapshot of what it's going to be like when it really does fall all apart. If this isn't it, it will happen, similar to this. It's getting lined up for one world government, one world leader. It's all lining up in a weird way, too. I mean, we've heard about this stuff for 40 years, and it's happening now. So if you're not praying, studying, fasting when you can, and staying as close to God as you can in these last days, you won't be strong enough to stand. That's period. That's how it's going to be. You have to have that Spirit of God strong in you, and you've got to know his word. The day will come when we might not even be able to read his word. If it's not written in your heart, you're not going to be able to recall half of these things. That's why it's so important to study. And these are love letters. I mean, when you read the Word of God, it's just like he's talking to you. And then the longer you read it, study it, you see how all the little places that he wants to show his love to you. And if you don't spend that time to do that, you'll never find that. You'll never find that out. We have such an opportunity here because of the wisdom and knowledge that's been poured out on us from our past shepherds. We have understanding, and with that comes a lot of responsibility too. Amen. And I just had a real close friend of mine, probably the closest friend I ever had in the natural, pass away. And the last time I talked to him, he said to me, are you still preaching up there in Alaska? I goes, yeah. I don't know what my words said to him, what my new life meant to him, because he wouldn't really commit to me about how he really felt about anything. But for some reason, I can't get him out of my mind. It's opened up a door with his daughter that I never even knew her. So, and I just feel like that might be the positive side of it, that somehow I might be able to share with her what God's done for me, and it might be able to turn her around. I don't know where she's at spiritually. But we know that all things work for the good, those who love God, right? And even though some of these situations are heartbreaking because you don't know where people are at spiritually, that's why we need to be where we're supposed to be spiritually, wherever that's at. Wherever God calls us to be spiritually, that's where we need to be. And we're all in different levels. You come in, you can grow as fast as you want to, but it still takes years going through a lot of different things and proving yourself to God that you that you really care about him and you don't care about the fishes and the loaves. You just want to live for him and show him that you love him. Amen. I just had a few notes here about how hectic the world is right now, and you know, I mean, it's scary. I mean, people are scared, but God's people don't have to be scared. If we're walking with Him, being a good example every day, obeying His word, we got nothing to be ashamed of, and nothing to be scared of either. Don't ever be ashamed of this word of God. Never. If you get a chance to share it with somebody, do it. Please do it. Because their voice will be crying on that day of judgment. Why didn't you tell me? And none of us want to have that on our conscience. We are accountable for that. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, just a couple verses here about God's protective hand on us. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, just verse 6 through verse 8. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that goeth with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now you look at your life, whether you've been serving God for just a few weeks or for many years, how that scripture is so true, that God will never leave you or forsake you. If there's anything there at all, he'll keep working with you. And that long-suffering and that mercy of God is unbelievable sometimes. Verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong of good cheer, for thou must go with thy people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. In verse 8, and the Lord, it is he that doth go before thee. He will be with you. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So we know that if we're walking with God, we're obeying this word, we're living every day trying to be a good example out there, that we're going to make it. We don't have to guess about our salvation. We do not have to guess about it. According to the scriptures, we got to trust God. We're going. Let's go to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I love it when the testimonies line up with what I've been studying. It gives me confidence in God that my hard work and prayer, everything, God honors that. And that's a faith builder to me, and it's a comfort to me to know that God's with me up here and that I'm doing my very best to feed his sheep. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if that salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It henceforth go good for nothing, but it's cast out to be trodden under foot of men. But this is us. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Don't hide what God's done for you. Share it with everybody. Live it for everybody, because sometimes you can't talk to them. But by your very life, you might open that door up where you can talk to them. Amen? Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be a good example out there in word and deed, especially in deed. Don't give anybody any reason to bring reproach on God's church. We want to be a light. We want no darkness in us. Let's go to Luke, the 17th chapter. Now, I studied this quite a bit, and the way I've always understood it before was just for young children. But the more I studied it, it's for young children, but it's all for young people in God that just came into God, or people that God's bringing to God, because it's not his will. When we read this, you'll see what I'm talking about. It goes on about, it talks about not casting a stumbling block before anybody. And it talks about older people. It doesn't talk just about babies. It talks about being a good example no matter where we're at. So let's go to chapter 17 in Luke, the first verse. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible but that the offenses will come. Sin will come. In the workplace, in school, in the grocery store, anywhere you're at, there's going to be some sin. People are going to sin in front of you. But woe unto me, woe unto him they come. If you're working with somebody, you're living with somebody, anywhere you're at, if you're not a good example to them, if you cast a stumbling block before people, God holds you accountable. Look what he says here. I'll read verse 2. It were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, that he should offend one of these little ones. And that could be a young one in God. That doesn't have to be a baby, because you go on. Verse 3, it says, take heed to yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. The most important thing to God is souls, and if they'll repent and come to him. And we do all we can do to win them, not to lose them. We got to be a good example. Starting in our house, going out to our workplace, to our school, to the community, everywhere we go, vacations. You don't get a free card when you're on vacation to be anything you want to be. You should still be one that they look at. They're different. Even though they got a suntan, they're still different. That's our commission. Amen. Let's go to Romans, the second chapter. One thing we don't ever want to do is take God's love and mercy for us for granted. We keep pushing him to the point where he has to say, whoa. Either get in or get out. And I've seen it happen. It's not a pretty sight. But when you get that point where you push God out of your life and he doesn't want nothing to do with you anymore, won't have nothing to do with you anymore, and Satan don't even want you. Think about that sometime. God won't have you and Satan won't have nothing to do with you. He's already got you. So we need to do all we can do to walk a holy life, be a good example, and not bring any reproach on God's church. Let's go to Romans, the second chapter, and we'll start out in verse 1. Now, this is each and every one of us, me included. Verse 1, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thy judgest does the same thing. Christians have a tendency to be real self-righteous. And they judge people sometimes when they're not really. You're supposed to be able to judge the sin, not the person. And sometimes you can get a little bit up here and looking down at people. Maybe you've had the Holy Ghost for a while and they're just getting started. That's where that love and mercy of God comes in. You do all you can do to show them the scriptures for what they're doing. If you're in that place that you can do that, if you're living a holy life, you show them the scriptures where it says, this is what the Word of God teaches. This isn't right. And then they can make up their mind what they want to do. You don't do it condescendingly. You do it out of love and mercy. Always. Amen. Self-righteousness. That is the one sin right there that will take you down. When you think there's nothing wrong with you or you're not that bad. I brought that up before. That's probably one of the worst sins there is in the church. Self-righteousness. I'm talking about this particular body. I'm talking about the church of God. Because you can't reach anybody that's self-righteous. Yeah, but. That doesn't apply to me. This whole word applies to all of us. Amen. Pretty quiet out there. Verse 2. But we are sure the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. Verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and does the same thing? Thou escape. Let me back up. Which do the same things and does the same thing? Thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despise thou the riches of his goodness and his forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's why God's good to us. He wants us to repent so we don't lose our soul. It's not because we're good people. We're just really nice people. He just can't hardly stay away from us because we're so nice. We all got baggage. We got to remember that too. Verse 5, but after the hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of righteousness, judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. God sees it all. He's the one that's going to take care of his business. He doesn't need us to take care of his business. He needs us to live a holy life and share his word with whosoever will. And he'll take care of the rest of it. Verse 7, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality and eternal life. If you do good, these are the things that we're waiting for us. We don't want to go that other way. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but by unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish. If you look them two words up, they're pretty bad. Pretty bad. Contentious means to be angry or debate, quarrelsome all the time. Tribulation is great trouble or suffering, not easily taken away. We don't want to be that. We don't have to go through that. All we got to do is obey what God teaches us to do. Verse 10, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Verse 11, for there is no respecter of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law. And as many that have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So God takes care of his business in this world, whether you're living for him or not. You got to give an account no matter what. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. We want to be doers of the law, right? Amen. Let's go to Titus. There's a lot in these scriptures right here, and I'm not going to break them all down, but a few of them I might. Titus, the second chapter, is where we're going to go. This is the example we want to set. We want to bring glory to God in our everyday life, no matter where we're at or what we're doing. And we want to win souls to God's eternal kingdom, right? Amen? I mean, that's what's left to do. Come in, get the Holy Ghost, start growing, win souls, and go to heaven. Sounds pretty simple, don't it? I've been trying to change for 43 years. And every time I study this word, I see how much I lack. But if I'm doing my best every day, I can go. That's the important part. Give it your best shot. That's what God looks at. Titus, the second chapter, verse 1. This is the life we're supposed to live. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and in charity and patience. Now there's all kinds of fruits of the Spirit right there. But that's the kind of example we should be to not only our family, our kids, our relations, but everybody we meet and everybody we work around. Just run into anywhere, in the grocery stores, whatever. We should be this kind of person. Verse 3, the aged women likewise, that ye be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And I didn't realize in studying this here that back in the old days like that, that there was a big problem with people drinking too much. I didn't realize it was that big of a deal, but as I studied this, I see that that could happen. Idle time sometimes. Sitting around. I remember when I was a kid, the neighbors would all get together and they called it the neighborhood gossip. They'd all sit around and talk about stuff, drink coffee. And God's women are not like that. And neither are God's men. Amen. Not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, but the word of God be not blasphemy. That means we're supposed to live a life where they can't find anything, man, woman, or child, that they can't find anything wrong with God's church. That's what that's all about. Don't give them a reason to talk bad about us. If they talk bad about us, make it a lie. Amen. Verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. And that means be serious, not goofing around all the time. Everything's a joke. Be sober-minded. Watch what's going on around. You see a problem, try to help a person out. Be sober about your own life, about your interaction with people. When you're too lighthearted, people think they don't have a feeling that you really care about them. They think everything's a joke and everything's lighthearted. Well, I like to do that myself, but God's made me curve my joking and goofing around sometimes. I was going to say get away with it, but I don't want to use that word. There's temperance in it. I'll put it that way. There's supposed to be temperance in our life, period, no matter what we do. Verse 6 again. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, in showing, uncorruptibleness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. When you talk to somebody, they need to know that this is important and you're serious and their eternal life hangs in the balance sometimes. They got to be able to feel that from you, that you're really concerned, that you're a serious person, that you know what's going on. And you're not telling us just lightheartedly, you're serious. You can't reach anybody if they think you're a jokester and all that stuff. They just, you know, you got to be serious. And they got to know that you're serious. And you, seriousness, when you're talking to somebody, they know you care about them. They actually know you care about them. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're telling them about this there and you know that they don't really, oh yeah, but you know they don't really care? And then you talk to somebody that you know that by their body language and by the way they look at you and listen to you, that they actually care what's going about your life and would help you if they can. We want to be that way, where people know that we love them and care about them sincerely, not just lip service. Amen? Verse 8, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say about you. See, that's what that means. Be serious. Exhort servants to be obedient. And back in them days, they had slaves. Exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. That means don't talk back. If your supervisor tells you that he wants something done a certain way and you get bowed up at him and start talking, well, yeah, I think it ought to be done this way and all that. That's exactly what that means. Don't talk back. Don't do what they ask. They're paying you. Do what they ask you to do. You know, unless it's against the word of God. Most of the time in the workplace, you don't have nothing going that's going to be worth against God's word. Verse 10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may be adorned, the doctrine of God and our Savior in all things. That just means just be a good example. Good example is the easy word for that. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. That doesn't mean not drinking, that means soberly. Sincere, not joking around, righteously and godly in this present world. Now, just that scripture right there. Teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. All right? You open up the computer, turn the TV on, or just go down to the mall, and you can see that scripture right there. The ungodliness, the worldly lust, the whole nine yards. All you got to do is walk out of the house. It's wild out there, man. The morality of this country is going down fast. And like we talked before, it's nothing wrong with lying, nothing wrong with cheating. Even if you get caught, everybody forgets about it. No apologies, no making it right. That's just the way it is. It never used to be that way. I was reading a bunch of our old oracles the last few weeks. And, you know, some of them were 40-something years old, on up to now. And it's amazing how the world's changed the way it was presented then and where we're at right now. It's amazing. All the things we learned 40 years ago are happening right now. And we all wondered how it was going to happen. And here we are. But I'll tell you what, there's a positive side of this. We're getting out of here. We're going to be with him for eternity. Now, do you believe that? Because if you don't believe that, you got a problem. Because how are you going to stand if you think this is all there is? Or if you think you can do whatever you want right now and get right pretty close to when you're leaving, which you never know when that's going to be. That's why if we don't pray and study every day, and it doesn't make any difference how long that is, you got to make a connection with God every day. Let him know that you're thinking about him, and he'll let you know that he's definitely thinking about you. We need all the strength we can get from him and each other in these end days. This is just This is nothing compared to how it's going to get. I don't know how long we're going to have to be here during all this stuff, but it's going to happen. Everything that was written in this Bible is going to come true. Everything up to this point has come true, and the rest of it's going to come true. And we're on the winning side. All we got to do is obey this word. And all this word does is bring you closer to God and give you peace and joy and a wonderful life, a life you never even dreamed possible before you started living for God. That's tough duty, isn't it? Isn't that tough duty? Living without God's tough duty. I've tried it. If it was out there, I would have found it. It is not out there. It's not out there, not even close. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope, that hope that we got, that we've got to share with everybody that we ever met and ever will meet, and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's us. A peculiar people, zealous of good works. And this is my part here. These things speak, exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Okay, we're going to go right into chapter 3 of Titus. See, I don't get none of this stuff. It's just for me. I get this because I have to share what God gives me to his people. It can be pretty serious sometimes, but it has to be out there. We all gotta be alert, be sober, be aware of what's going on, be aware of how we are and how our walk with God's going. If we're reading down through these scriptures and there's things in there that, ding, you feel that you're lacking a little bit in, that's what this is for, to keep us on the right track. It's not to be mean to us or hurt us, and you know, we get convicted, we get upset and gnarly, I don't like the way he's teaching, or don't like what he's teaching, or that type of things go through your mind. You're not mad at me. You're mad at God. They got nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to do what God called me to do. And I'm doing my very best. And I can go to bed at night knowing that. I don't have to worry about it. If I was insecure about it, it'd be a different story. But I'm not insecure about it anymore. I know that I'm giving God my best shot. It's not easy to bring a lot of this stuff out. You know, you'd like to just, everything's, you know, rainbows and puppy dogs. That's what you'd like to bring out. But that's not the way life is right now. Life is serious right now, and we need to be serious about it, about our walk with God anyway. Amen. Amen. Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 1. Put them in mind to be subjected to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, that just means to obey the laws of the land. You know, just don't kick at everything that comes along. Yeah, I don't like the way this is. I'm talking about natural stuff right now, too. Just don't be so defensive about everything. Let it go. If it's not something that really affects your life, especially your spiritual life, let it go, man. We don't need any more weights on us than we're getting. I mean, there's enough stuff out there that counts that really is a heartache and is a weight that we have to go through. Not all this petty stuff. These little petty stuff, these little foxes, that's what takes your peace and joy away from you, if you let it. Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be not brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. I mean, this is so plain how we got to act. Reading these verses is so plain. And it's not hard to do. It's our pride and our natural nature that don't want to come underneath that authority from God. It's The thing about that is, if you don't do it now, you'll do it later. We're not getting out of away from this stuff. We have to do what this Word of God teaches us. If we don't, we're going to lose out. So why fight it? Give up. Just give up and let God have His way. That's the easiest thing in the world, man. After you do that, it's just, you try to fight your own battles. I can't even walk without God holding my hand anymore. I mean, I really can't. I have to seek Him for every little decision I make. And then I feel good about it, though. And then like I said, it gives you confidence to know that you're doing your best for God. And then you get, there's boldness comes with that. You can't meet anybody or go through any situation that you don't have that confidence in God that, yeah, there's a boldness there, man, that you can step out and tell people about Him. You can step out and do the right thing. It's not always talking to people about God. It's about living for God in front of them. Sometimes it's not easy to be holy in front of people. You don't steal and you don't lie, you don't cheat. That's not easy to do sometimes. It's a lot easier to do some of that stuff right off the bat than it is to face the consequences. But if you mess up, be quick to make it right. And you never know what that's going to happen. People respect you for that because it's like a dinosaur track anymore. You can't find it. There's several people that I had to go to that I got upset with on the job, and two out of the three came to church because I went to them and said, hey, I'm sorry. I prayed about it last night. It wasn't right, and I wish I could do it over again. One guy even hugged me. He said, man, I don't think anybody's ever come to me like that before. And I think I started crying. I just said, I didn't know what to do. I felt that way. I love it when I'm meek and humble before God. That's a wonderful feeling, man, to know you don't care. You do not care what people think about you. You care what God cares about you. And you go and you'll come and you'll do whatever God wants you to do. You don't care what the guys in the job think, what the girls in the school think. You don't care about none of that stuff. You care about what God thinks. And He will lift you up, man. He'll give you what you need to get through the situation. We got an awesome God, man. We need to use Him. And the only way you can use Him is to be right with Him. And that's our fault. If we can't use Him in every situation, we're not where we're supposed to be with Him. He gives us all the tools we need to do the job. Not only for our own peace and joy in our own life, but for people we meet. We got something to give them. We got the most important thing in the world to give them, eternal life. I was 33 years old before I ever heard this. Man, if I wouldn't have heard this, I wouldn't be around right now. I know where I'd be too. I'm just, praise God, I don't know why I listened, but I'm glad I did. Amen. Verse 3, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, hating one another. Well, I mean, look at your life, man. This is life right here. This is life in the natural. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, that Holy Ghost, man, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Man, that Holy Ghost is unreal, man. What would you do without the Holy Ghost, man? After you've tasted this stuff, what would you do without it, man? Man, I can't even put that in my mind. What it'd be like to not have God in my life. Verse 6, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Just think about the lovely life that you have in God, man. God is awesome, man. And the more you pray and study and do the works and stuff, the closer you get to him, the more awesome he is, man. You get feelings that you never knew you had before. He takes care of everything in your life. You don't have to worry about stuff anymore. You do what you can do, man, and he does the rest. I mean, how can you ask for a better life than that, man? Verse 7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's us, man, that hope of eternal life. But that hope is real. That's not just hope, that's a real hope. This is a faithful saying, that these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's us. Keep up the good work. Everything that come across this pulpit today wasn't for everybody in here. A lot of people were doing really good. But we all got little places we can work on. Amen? We all do. We're not perfect. We're not going to be perfect till we get there. But we got to be trying to be perfect every day. That's all we got to do. Without excuse. Trying to make excuses for every little thing. This because of this. I'm not feeling good here. Well, that happened. You know, God looks at our heart, man. He knows if we can do something or not do something. And so do we. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. You ever try to get out of let me rephrase that. Lots of times in the workplace, this is things that happen to me. Guys will be talking about something, and pretty soon they're trying to get me right in there. You know, it was either talking about somebody, they weren't happy about something. You know, misery loves company, for one thing. And I had to back away from that stuff. Right off the bat, I didn't know how to do it. I mean, I wasn't sure. I only had the Holy Ghost a few months, and I was already working out away from home. But I learned you don't get involved in that stuff, man. And when you don't, they know that you're making a stand. The next thing you know, they're asking you about what's going on with you or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different situations that come out of that. God, it tells you right here, don't get involved in genealogies, contentions, strives about the politics. It's just unprofitable and it's vain. That's not for God's people. God takes care of all that stuff for us. Amen. Let's go to this last scripture here. Revelation, the third chapter. You always got to come up with something here to stir you up a little bit. I'm talking about me. If you guys can stir me up, then you can stir anybody up. This is payday here. This is a little promise that God's got for his people if we overcome. Revelation is the third chapter, and start out in verse 7. And this is the Philadelphia church. This is the church of love. This is where I came in. Things have changed a lot since then. We're into the Laodicean era, too. Still got a little Philadelphia out there, but a lot of Laodicean. And that means laity rules. So you don't want to get in that frame of mind where nobody's going to tell you what to do. And you're your own person and all that stuff. You want to be God's person. Amen. Verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. God's got control of everything. I don't care who a superpower is or anything else, it's God that's got the reins here. All we got to do is do our part, and he takes care of it. Verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name, that name of Jesus. Behold, I will make thee of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. I don't want, that's not a desire of mine, but if that's what God wants to do, fine. I mean, there's a lot of things that God wants to do that we don't even understand, that they're going to be unbelievably cool when we find out about how it all works together. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all this world to try them that dwell upon the earth. That's scripture right there. That wasn't my ideas earlier. That was scripture. Behold, I come quickly and redeem. What did I keep turning too many pages here? Hold fast that which thou hast, and that no man take thy crown. Now we learned this a long time ago. If you get complacent, start dragging your feet, not happy with this, not happy with that, got a problem with this, you should be doing that, I like it when you do this, I like when you teach that, I like when you don't teach that, any of that stuff. Don't lay that crown down. Because we've always been taught somebody's waiting right there somewhere in this world to pick that crown up. You don't lay your crown down. Please don't lay your crown down. Verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down from heaven from God. And I will write unto him my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is us, folks. This is what we want right here. Keep that at the forefront of your mind this week. Live a holy life, an overcoming life. Be a good example to your family, to everybody you come in contact with. Show God how much you really love him and how much you appreciate what he's done for you. Amen. As you come up to this altar tonight, you got any issues at all, lay him right down here. He's right here to take them away for you. Heal you, whatever it takes. Our God is here for us tonight. He loves us, and there's nothing good that he will withhold from us, but it has to be his way. Amen. I love you all. You have a good week, and praise God.